السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Okay, this is Dr. Ali Zaini and we are now dealing with the issue of stereotypes that Islam says kill the infidels, Islam says and kill them wherever you find them, or Islam sanctions violence against non-believers, and all these stereotypes that Islam is being accused of. And we started this topic last time. The basis of this belief, the ISIS, Al-Qaeda, 9/11, media. I think we should add here media. Media is also. Media, like this video that I showed you last time about executive decision that the guy was shooting in the airplane, hijacked the airplane and shooting at the people and say, this is all in the Quran, holding the Quran book in his hand and say, oh, look, this is a movie made by Hollywood and give Islam a bad name. And we said that the expression infidel and holy war do not exist in Islam. And the term kafir or kafirun does not mean infidel. It means disbelievers. Disbelievers of Islam or non-Muslims, in other words. And Surah Al-Kafirun is telling the people, you have your religion, that we have our religion. So it's allowing people, is saying that you can have yours, we have ours. Like if I click here. It's Surat al-Kafirun. It says, first of all, it's calling the Kafirun, it's called disbelievers.
Disbeliever.
Okay. And they, and then it says at the very end, you have your religion and you have, and we have our religion. Okay, so it provides, even though it's, they say it might be a harsh surah, no, it provides a basis for it. It's a message of tolerance, like you have your religion and we have our religion. Jihad is holy war. There's no holy war in Islam. Jihad is the word jihad has broad meaning and specific meaning. The broad meaning of the word jihad is to struggle. Struggle to do something, struggling, striving. Okay, when you're struggling with something, it's called jihad. And the heart, or the highest level of jihad, is jihad in nafs, struggling with your temptations. You're doing jihad on your temptations and your lusts and your lower desires. Okay, this is called jihad, and we all do this. We jihad, we struggle against our temptations. And the highest level of jihad is the struggle with the temptations and the evil soul and the evil characters of the human soul. So that's the jihad. But jihad in term to indicate wars is not always. The war is harb or qital or mawqi'ah. Or ghazwa, okay? The jihad has sometimes been used to indicate war, but it's not always. Sometimes it's used to include war. And the term holy war has a negative meaning or connotations in the Christian traditions. It's about those different people from different Christian factions coming up against each other and killing one another. So it has negative connotations in the Christian traditions. Jihad doesn't have this negative connotation in our traditions. And then we talked about and kill them wherever you find them is cut and paste to serve an ill people and an ill purpose. That we covered the whole thing and how it was taken completely out of context. And this is just a small part of the small portion of the ayah. They cut whatever is, they cut what's before and cut what's after. And then we talked about that the text of the Quran supports tolerance, how Muslim men can marry Christians or Jewish women. If Islam says kill infidels, then you can, how could Islam say kill Christians and Jews and at the same time we can marry them? Okay, it's Islam, there's no more tolerance than having your own wife in your own home, the mother of your children, to be a Christian or a Jewish. And this is not the case for it, by the way, for the Muslim women or girls. Muslim women cannot marry non-Muslim men. And the reason is that the non in Islam, the non-Muslim wives are protected by verse 5, chapter 5. She's protected. She protected that she keeps her religion and she can be married to a Muslim man and he's not going to force her out of her religion or persecute her because she's it's lawful for him. She's his lawful wife. But there is no such a tolerance in Christianity or Judaism. There's no verse 5, chapter 5 and them in the Torah or the Bible that would protect a Muslim wife from a non-Muslim husband. There's no protection. And people usually, when they're young, they are not taking religion seriously. When they grow older, they take religion seriously. And then there's nothing in the Christian tradition that supports a Christian person marrying a non-Christian wife. Actually, even within denominations, hold on for just a second. All right, we're back into the recording here. And the second thing is that Islam is the only non-Christian religion that honors Jesus. There is absolutely no other non-Christian religion that honors Jesus except Islam. And to us, we say Jesus is the servant of God. To the Christians, they say Jesus is the son of God. We say Jesus is the servant of God, but we're honoring him. The people who don't believe, they don't believe that there is possible that to have a man without, to have a boy, a baby without a father. They don't believe that. And they believe that Mary have done something, has committed an adultery, astaghfirullah al-azim, have committed an adultery, and the fruits of this adultery was Jesus. And that's what the Jews say, that Mary, peace be upon her, she fornicated with her cousin, An-Najjar, Yusuf An-Najjar, her cousin, and she got this out of wedding baby called Jesus, okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala condemned them, saying, making such an awful accusation for Mary. Allah in the Quran condemned them. He said, وَقَوْلِهِمْ عَلَى مَرْيَمَ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا, that they have made such a slander to Maryam, the noble woman, the pure, the virgin. Not only the holiness of Jesus or Mary, the holiness of Mary, of Jesus or Mary. Okay? The Holy Spirit. Now, Islam allows Muslims to be friends with those who are not fighting them. Verse 68, Allah does not forbid you from those who don't fight you, did not drive you out of your land, from dealing with them kindly and justly, and be nice and kind and friends and everything else. But the next verse, Allah saying that He only forbids you from having intimate relationships, or having, you know, like not all, something above, like casual relationship. That the ones who fought you, the one who's fighting you because of your religion, the ones who drove you out of your home, if you have a relationship with them, then you are a wrongdoer. That's a sin. It's haram to have a relationship with anybody who's fighting you because of your religion and because of you, and he wants to take away your land from you. And an example of this, we said the Islamophobes. Okay, so we use an example of Islamophobe. Islamophobes are the ones who hate you because you're a Muslim. You can't have an intimate relationship with Islamophobe. That's haram. Okay, that's a typical example, or the example that applies to our relationship. And it's not only haram; it doesn't make any sense to have any kind of a relationship with an Islamophobe if you're a Muslim. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. Neither you will accept him, nor the other person will accept you. You know, that he will not accept you, or she will not accept you, and the other way around. Okay. And then we talked why Islam is against 9/11. Killing civilians is forbidden by the Quran. By the verse which says, only the ones who fight you, you fight them back. And there will be thousands of people that died there that were not fighting anybody. They were just fighting to stay alive, or like fighting for living, to have a job, and to, they were innocent people. They never fought with anybody and they didn't want to fight with anybody. And Islam forbids vigilantism. Islam doesn't like people to be vigilantes. Those who take the act on their own, take the law in their hands without being a government. Just like Robin Hood, for example. The war can be declared by head of a state who is backed up by his people who are willing to fight. Because fighting means children dying, means buildings crumbled, it means infrastructure destroyed, it means blood, it means a lot of things. It means a lot of things. There has to be, as head of a state, with agreement or the consent of his people, declaring a war. But it's not like any gang can just come up and declare a war. And declare a hypocrisy of the radical groups, that they are betraying the religion they are pretending to support. And ISIS in particular killed a lot of Muslims. A lot of Muslims were killed by ISIS. Okay. Now comes the continuation of that. Sharing the same religion with the radicals doesn't mean that Muslims are radicals. The example of Hitler. Hitler caused, you know, he killed 17 million people. He put 17 million people to death. You just imagine 17 million people, just this human being killed 17 million people. And if he's treated by Allah as to be one of the pharaohs, which I think, and Allah knows better, I'm just not allowed to say for sure. I'm saying, inshallah, he's going to be one of them. Inshallah, he's going to burn in hellfire for millenniums after millenniums after millenniums after millenniums without an end. Just imagine he's being killed 17 million people. He has been killed, just being killed 17 million times. He would be killed 17 million times. Okay. Now, any human, if we look at the human tree, we have one family at the beginning, Adam and Eve, and they populate, they multiply. So that human you have killed is like an Adam that could have had children and children and multiply into many children. I spilled water on the disc. So, so when you kill those people, you're not only killed 17 million people. So you're not, you will not be killed 17 million times. You will not suffer 17 million times death. In other words, Allah will kill you one time for each one you killed. Okay? So you killed 17 million, you get killed. You go through the pain of killing and the damages of killing. You go through it 17 million times. But you also get to pay for the children of that person you have killed, the children that he should have produced. Okay? So now this 17 million, each one of them is having 17 million. Like, and see the trees propagating from these 17 million, see how many people they will propagate until the day of judgment. Just imagine being killed millions and millions and millions of times in the bottom of the hellfire for millenniums, non-stop burning, eat boiling water, not water, boiling juice made of blood and spit and yuck and number ones and number twos and all of these things you can imagine, the worst kind of juice or liquid, filthy liquid, boiling. And food is a tree called zakum, described in the Quran. Allah said that when you eat it, it's like you're eating thorns, and it doesn't fill you up, and you're so hungry, and you keep eating from it, and it doesn't fill you up. It makes you more hungry, and you eat more. And the day after day, the punishment and the pain and the torture doesn't decrease. It increases, endless increasing, everlasting. You just imagine what did this person did to himself. And once Muhammad Ali was asked, how do you feel about your bin Laden sharing the same religion as yours? And he replied with a big smile, same as you feel about Hitler sharing yours. You know, that was a good answer. If the message is that you are, similarity of religion doesn't mean much. Also, there's the example of the army of the God, the anti-abortion terror. It's there in the homework as well. That is a violence committed by the ones who oppose abortion against the ones who do abortion, perform abortion. So they will destroy the clinics, kill the doctors, assault, murder, you know, crimes of various kinds against bombing, against the people who perform abortion. And as you can say here, when did the right to live becomes the right to terrorize? To save one baby, you kill how many people you kill? I mean, you are bleated. Here is the hypocrisy: is that you're pretending that you are waging a war, Christian army of God, army of God. We call them army of God themselves, anti-abortion terror. The army of God, you're claiming you're saving human life, but as you're at the same time, you're killing and murdering people. So you're saving life by by wasting life. It's this betray the cause that they stand up for. Wow. A lot of bombs, 641 bombings, 173 armors, 91 attempted bombing or arsons, 619 bomb threats, 1630, blah, blah, blah. I can keep all these numbers. Fear, they are right-wing evangelical Christians. The same one right now are saying Islam is an evil religion. But a minister, a priest, become a leader of a militant wing, you know, imagine, okay? Just like Bin Laden came to a different understanding of what it means to preach the gospel. Though it is motivated by the Christian religion, no one should blame Protestant Christianity for the terror acts of the army of God. Okay, so these are all, the point here is that having the same religion doesn't mean that Muslims are radicals. The third example is the Irish Republican Army, and the president of the Irish Republican Army was called Gerry Adams. Gerry Adams, they used to, when he used to come here to the United States, they used to treat him as a diplomat. I don't know how, but that's one of the things that really annoyed me about him, that he is the head of a terror organization called the Irish Republican Army. They would commit acts of terrorism against the Protestant Christians. It was a war between the Irish, which are Catholics, and the Catholics, between Catholics and Protestants. The war between Catholic and Protestants. And because the Catholics start in Ireland, began a civil rights campaign against discrimination, various kinds of discrimination. So the IRA believed in terror as a tactic to achieve its goals. And they, in 1970, started bombing, assassinations, ambushes, you know, you name it. And nobody, and Gerry Adams here is the, was being seen by some as peacemaker. Some people, like they say, one man terrorist is another man freedom fighter. He was being seen by people as a peacemaker, Gerry Adams. Okay. The IR religion is Catholic, but no one should accuse Catholicism of being the religion of the Catholic religion of being a religion of terror. Everyone knows that IRA does not represent the mainstream Catholic. And here the same thing. And no one should consider that the Army of God represents Protestant Christians. And no one should blame Catholics for the Hitler killings. Hitler, his mother was, his father was Catholic, but his mother was a devout Catholic, practicing Catholic. I saw his baby. We used a picture of his when he was baby. He looks cute when he was baby, but when he grew up, he turned into an evil, a devil. Timothy McVeigh. I don't know if you guys knew about this or not. And he did a bombing of the federal building in Oklahoma City, leaving 168 people dead and 680 people injured. and it was anti-government militant, Timothy McVeigh. He was executed for his crimes. And I remember this day because when it happened, they said Muslims. Right away in the media, they said Muslims. And we started panicking. And Muslims started panicking because we worried about the backlash. When you deal with ignorant people, they don't have the education or the mind to understand that God intended to create us with natural differences. So we shouldn't punish each other for natural differences intended by our creation. Difference of race, different of color, different of tongue, difference of religion, different of beliefs. We don't punish people for natural differences intended by our Creator. He could have made us all Muslims. He could have made us all Christians. He could have made us all the same. But he intended to have natural differences between us. And that was intended. So we don't punish people for the intended design of God. In other words, so the when it happened, we panicked, Muslims panicked, and the media started right away. Oh, Muslims, 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 Muslims. And then started toning it down after the investigation started flowing and they found the guy. They didn't even apologize. They say, yeah, we were right in expecting to be Muslims because they are the ones, they are the terrorists. So they didn't even say sorry. They said, it's me. They said, yeah, we have the right to accuse you. That's what we heard then. We have the right to accuse you because you have been always the ones who did that. And I don't know when was before 9/11, 2001. I don't remember any act of terror except some way at the beginning of the 90s. It was a minor act. It wasn't something big, and that's it. So most of the terror operations in the United States was done by Latinos, I think, for political reasons involving the United States and the Latin America. I'll be more accurate after I get you the statistics, but I remember seeing something like that. Before 2011, before 9/11, 9/11 is the biggest, but before 9/11, there was something else. I'll get you the details, inshallah, later. I put it on the website for those who are interested to look at. KKK, I don't know if you ever heard about the KKK. It's a terrorist organization. Basically, they burn their fellow Christians just because they are black. Black, just because they are black. And they burn everybody, but they focus mainly on Christians. They burn the Christian churches. They burn Christian churches for the black people. They were, they caused a lot of problems. And I think Ku Klux, I think they are still operational until today, if I'm not mistaken. What's the status of them today? You know anything about the status? I don't know. What are they doing nowadays? America's Anglo-Saxon blood. Anyway, there is a lot about it to say, but I'm just briefing you, giving you brief. What is it about? And police didn't do anything. Police did not stop them. Didn't do anything. They just let them burn the churches of the blacks, black people, and then get away with it. But nobody would be blaming Christians for the and say all Christians are Ku Klux Klan, KKK. All Christians are KKK. Nobody does that. And there is something important here, because when a Christian commits an act of terrorism, we don't need to tell Christians that he does not. We don't need to tell Christians that he does not represent Christianity, because they know that, because that their religion, they know that Christianity doesn't stand up for what, doesn't support what KKK are doing. Okay, but in case of Islam, we need to knock on every door and tell them Islam doesn't have to do with ISIS. Islam, Muslims, ISIS don't represent Muslims. ISIS don't represent Muslims. Go knock on doors or like publish in the media. ISIS does not represent Muslims. Qaeda does not represent Muslims. KKK doesn't represent Americans. KKK doesn't represent Christians. Those are radical fanatics on their own, that have their own world living in. They don't represent the remaining mainstream people, okay? But it's known to the American people that Christian terrorists are not represented with Christianity. They know that. But they don't know that Muslims who commit acts of terrorism don't represent Islam. They say all Muslims are like that. I've heard it, wallahi, with my own ears. If somebody told that, would have said this to me, I wouldn't believe it. A woman walked to me and said, we believe that all, we don't believe that there is a good Muslim and there is a bad Muslim. They are all bad because they are learning, all of them learning from the same book. And my reply was, there are 200 million Muslims in Indonesia, for example. Are they all the same? All 200 million Muslims are the same? 200 million bad Muslims in Indonesia? And if you would tell me this, the same thing today, I would explain further to her that, just like the Bible, all Christians reading the same Bible, but everyone has his own understanding. And just like the spectrum of Christianity works, there is another spectrum similar to it in Islam. Same spectrum, okay? So there are the radicals and there's the modern and there's, you know, all these spectrums are the same phenomena happening in Christianity and in Islam. Okay, Qaeda is a political organization and ISIS is a political organization giving Islam a bad name, just like Zionism is giving Judaism a bad name. A lot of Jewish people, and there is an organization here, it's called Not In My Name. Not In My Name, it's an organization of Jews against Israel. Not in our name, not in my name. Jews against Israel. There's an organization called Not In My Name. Anyway. But it does exist. I met with them and they say, they simply said that Judaism is a spiritual religion and Zionism is a political movement. And this Zionism is giving a Jewish religion a bad name because of it, because of its acts. And I can say the same thing. Qaeda is a political, or ISIS is a political organization. And Islam is a religion, faith, but they are giving Islam a bad name. We have, while our 40, there are so many things, important things that we need to know now, that we suffered twice as much as other fellow and non-Muslim Americans due to 9/11. We suffered twice. Number one, we suffered the loss of 9/11 that every American citizen have suffered. Number two, we have suffered the backlash. So we were hit twice. every American citizen who's hit once will hit twice. And it wasn't the intent of the 9/11 terrorist Al-Qaeda. They did not intend to damage two towers. They also wanted to divide the American nation because they want America to turn against its own Muslim citizens. So we'll be divided. Instead of being united, we are divided. They wanted to divide us, and they wanted to make us weaker by dividing us. And that's what they did. And that's unfortunately what they have achieved, is that they divided us. So they wanted to turn the Americans and the American citizens and the fellow Muslim American citizens against each other and dividing us. Also numerical calculations, by the way, I've done this last time. I did the calculation, it's about 0.007% of total Muslim population, Qaeda and Bin Laden. Okay, see, and another also point that should be discussed is that we built coalition based on justice. No one prefers to have a bad Muslim friend over a good non-Muslim friend. Which one do you want to have? A bad Muslim friend or a good non-Muslim friend? Of course, a good non-Muslim friend who wants bad Muslim friend. Okay. So we build coalition not based on faith, based on justice. Okay. Fear and cooperation. That's another. Fear and cooperation is a big business. Basically, if I give you a simple example, if you have in a house, I will come and knock on your door and say, hey, there is a monster on the back of your house. You need to hire me to protect you. Hire me as a security person to protect you from this monster. So now I give you the job to protect me from this monster in my backyard. Then you knock on me on my door and say, okay, now the monster brought his cousins. And I need to have three more security officers under me. So here you go, you hire three more security officers. That's a business. And then you knock on my door and say, now this monster brought his entire family and he is landed in your backyard and I need an army of security officers to protect you from this monster. And this way, that it's a business. People, not only people fund the Fear Incorporated. Who's funding Fear Incorporated? Who's funding it? And who's benefiting from it? Where's that thing? Fear Incorporation. That's another topic by itself, but just to give you a brief, short thing about Fear Incorporation. The network of fear, who is funding the Fear Incorporation? That's a big subject. I wouldn't even be able to touch it now because it's a big subject. And it takes a lot of time to cover, but it's one thing that we need to keep in mind as American Muslims, that we need to know what is Fear Incorporation, who's funding it. And those experts, or those people who introduce themselves as experts, and basically what they are doing is that they making money by being invited on these channels as experts of Islam. They make money, they make a lot of money, they get royalties money by being invited into stations and just say bad things about Islam and present themselves as experts on the Islamic terrorism or the terror of Islam or the whatever it is, and they make money. And there's also the media bias. There is a joke about that. about the media bias. There was a guy who was walking, a Muslim guy. He saw a dog chasing after a girl, and the dog is going to kill the girl. So he ran and he attacked the dog and he killed the dog and saved the girl. Okay, so now here is that media reporter running and saying, "Oh, wow, you're so brave. That was good. I'm going to write an article saying that a brave person from the city of New York, from New York City, saved the life of an innocent girl." He said, the guy, the Muslim guy said, "But I'm not from New York City." He said, "Okay, fine. A brave person from New York State saved the day." He said, "But I'm not from New York State." He said, "Fine. A brave American saved the life of a Muslim, of a little girl." He said, "But not American citizen." He said, "Where are you from?" He said, "From Pakistan." He said, "Oh, okay." The next day, the papers come out to say, "A Muslim terrorist killed an innocent American dog." Did you get it? You didn't get it, did you? Okay, yeah, you did. There's also, yeah, that's that joke here, media bias. Yeah, and another joke about the media bias, but this one happened truly, really happened, is that the person was talking about that there are certain animals that we are allowed to kill as soon as we see them in Islam. Example is the mouse, the snake, the scorpion, and few other animals and insects. We're required to kill them as soon as we see them. So a sheikh was giving a lecture and he was telling them about this list. So he said the mouse, a snake, blah, blah. And then he said, "Oh, so we should kill Mickey Mouse." Ha, 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 ha. And he was laughing. He said, "So we should kill mice and we should kill mice." And then he was laughing, said, "And means that we should kill Mickey Mouse." So the next day, the newspaper comes, a Muslim clerk saying we should kill Mickey Mouse. So the media is really biased, really biased. I was told by a friend that his friend, I don't know the details, but the basic idea was that he was hosting news people from the news coming to the masjid to ask questions about Islam after 9/11. And then this reporter, she came to him and she said, she started asking him questions about Saddam Hussein and bin Laden. So the guy said, "Okay, here, this is a masjid. You come here, you ask me about the five pillars of Islam, the six pillars of faith. But if you want to ask about Saddam Hussein and bin Laden, you're in the wrong place. You want to ask Saddam Hussein and bin Laden, go to the CIA. They will tell you about who's Saddam Hussein and who's bin Laden. By the way, Saddam Hussein was created by the CIA to fight Iran. Bin Laden was created by the CIA to fight the Soviets, the Russians. Okay, so both of them were CIA products. We have nothing to do with them. And if you want to ask about them, go there. The CIA, don't come to me here." Okay, so it was really a good point that he made, that we are a spiritual religion. We're not talking about politics here. Okay. Some people consider the people who are taking Islam seriously radicals, in my opinion, and the right perspective should be the people who take Islam seriously are safe, because they will have the mercy of Islam in their heart and they will be do more charity than anybody else. The one who make Islam seriously, they would do more charity work and charity money and charity finding and charity stuff more than anybody else, more than the ones who don't do or take Islam seriously. And these two questions here, I'll leave for you guys to explore to see how well you can do this. These are questions from the homework. So when you go to the homework, you'll find these questions right there. So this is the homework. And yeah, this is the article about terrorism in the United States and the number of incidents. And this is the year that was the worst, 2001. And this is up to 2017, injuries and death in the United States. And before 9/11, there was the largest, you know, I would count on you to visit this site and answer the questions. I don't want to hold all of you guys here. So in the in here, I would make these questions mandatory, not optional. In other words, they'll be required to be answered. If you don't want to answer them, it's up to you. But they will be part of the homework. It's not going to be an optional anymore. So I'll count on you to do this on your own. Okay.